that's how I ended up in the Gnome of the Month Club. 17 gnomes deep. Huh. I might have been 17 Miller High Life deep when I signed up, but you know.
How many come in a pack?
just one gnome. One gnome a month.
So you signed up for another year? How'd you get 17?
No, I was talking about how many High Lifes.
They were so good, I decided to hang on. What is up, everybody? It's ZGP Power Hour number 159. Today we're talking about racing. It is
racing.
The eve of the first track day of the year.
Yep.
I can't talk, but that's all right.
Yep. US 131, our local drag strip. Tomorrow's their spring opener, and we are locked and loaded.
We got a bunch of cars going, but before we do that, let's get to our featured products this week. In my hands,
the sacred, the almighty.
If I had a pair of calipers, I'd go like this. I'd show you that it is 20.5 millimeters.
20.5.
Which is very special because L&F ball joints have been non-existent for years and years and years. We've had our control arms on the site with these for the last month. And now we have individuals. So if you don't want to change your whole control arm, you already got some baller cabs and leading bushings, and you just need a new ball joint, boom. L&F boys, you are in business now.
Fun fact, most parts stores, and I literally just ran into this the other day at in the waiting room talking to a customer, they'll sell you a 19.5 ball joint for an LSJ for your L&F.
Yep.
And you go home, you install it, you might get it tightened down enough. A week later, it starts rattling, your alignment's out of whack. It's not going to physically fall out, but it's not going to be tight enough because there is a 1 millimeter difference. So,
and you guys, like, traction and cornering and braking, like, everything is so affected by having tight front suspension. Uh-huh. So, yes, that 19.5 will go
the
in
reason
there
I actually,
and it'll tighten up. But
the reason I actually brought up this guy's ball joints, and I was like, hey, man, have you done ball joints on the car? And he goes, yeah, I just did them. Because Matt Meekoff drove the car, and he's like, I can't keep this thing in a lane. And, you know, so we got to talk, and he's like, yeah, I did them. I got them from AutoZone, and they sold me these. And I was like, yeah,
they're
not right. So come to you boys, ZZP. We got your back on the 25s.
$39.99.
$40.
$40 for both. Both of them.
One.
Okay. Oh, same.
Each one, each side.
Are you sure?
Yeah, they're individual. They might be $34.99, though. I don't remember.
Oh, no, Tyler, they're $19.99 a piece.
You guys are something.
No, that's the LSJ ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We don't know, but we got the ball joints.
It's a new product.
Yeah. It is going to be a good amount of work knocking out your factory rivets.
Oh, that sucks.
If you don't feel like doing that, buy the whole arm. We got the whole arm. So.
Yeah, we do sell that.
And those are sold as pairs.
Following that up, big shouts to the guys in the R&D team coming out with this super cool little trinket that goes on the outlet of your LE2. I always want to say LE5. LE2 turbo. So your 1.4 Gen 2 Cruise actually has a muffler on the turbo outlet.
Yeah, shoot. I should have. I have the stock one at my desk.
It is big muffler on the end of your turbo outlet that dampens all the turbo noise because, you know, GM didn't want people going, what's that whine under my hood or whistle? And
are we talking about ATS guys?
Who put out
no, we're not talking about whiners. We're talking about
the private joke with that is you'd be surprised how many people complain about turbo noise when they put our intakes on their cars, and it's like, what
did
like
you expect?
All of us, we love turbo whistle.
So
like, it's the greatest
huge
sound ever.
Increase in the idea of this as well. So overall,
10 mil flow. Larger, go from 30 mil to 40 mil. And it fits perfectly over Buffalo Trace half gallon.
Yeah.
But all right, we got those out of the way. So let's talk about what we're taking on the track tomorrow.
Man, we're ready.
What our
Wait,
goals are.
Can I talk first? We got some new stuff for the Moose.
Oh, yeah.
And sorry.
We're going to flex.
I know
quick.
I've been riding on this for 2 days, boys. Ooh. But man, it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Have you made your post yet?
No. Ooh. I probably won't either. I'll let Mike have the glory.
So you guys are hearing it here first.
Regal's got some new wheels on it this year. We went with an Enki.
How many inches are you?
Proud to say.
All of them.
Proud to say. We got an 18 by 10.5 inch wheel on the Regal right now. with a 255 40 RE71 RS 200 tread wear, sticking and gripping, ready to gap a Sonic on it.
Ten and a half wide on a W body. We were just talking about it yesterday.
I'm just so envious.
All four corners.
When I had my W body, like, I didn't have, I had 7.5 wide wheels on it. I mean, it was 20 years ago, but still, like.
Did they even make 10.5
probably wide wheels? Probably not.
So the killer part is, I don't have to run spacers anymore for brake clearance. Overall, just a more functional setup. Super premium wheel for, you know, pushing a 4,000-pound car through a lot of corners. Overall, feel really good about how the Regal's hitting the ground running this year, literally.
And it looks so good.
And it looks baller. So
real meaty.
Load it up.
Stay tuned. We'll be posting some photos. If anybody's interested in my old wheel and tire setup, it's an 18x9.5. Shoot me a message on Facebook or something. I might be getting rid of them. So, I know a lot of guys call on the website and say, "What are the wheels on that Regal?" Yep. So they're available.
Here's your chance.
I'll give you a screaming deal on them. Pick them up at ZZP. Come in and see us. Maybe buy some other parts for your W body.
Yep.
Anyway. Sorry about the personal plug.
That's okay.
We're going racing. Regal will be at 131 along with.
Several others.
For the first time since 2019, the ZZP Camaro will be out. It's got a Z57.
Now, we say ZZP Camaro.
Yeah.
There's a couple guys out there that think there's another Camaro that's a ZZP Camaro. That car is going to be there too, Mr. Alameo's Camaro.
Yeah.
Tyler's taking his personal livery-wrapped 2-liter Z57 forged engine.
Yeah.
Aux fuel kit.
Yeah, it's...
Last time you were there, you were on a stock turbo.
Stock turbo. We didn't even have the flex kit available because it wasn't available in the PCM. Didn't have a trans tune on it. So it was E47. I mean, it did okay. It was like 12.5. You know, not bad.
So about 200 wheel horsepower ago, Tyler ran a 12.5.
Yeah. It's up a lot of power and. The trans shift's great, and we got the slicks and skinnies on it. It's gonna be
we got a 275 Hoosier in the back, a skinny in the front. Tim spent some time this week dialed in the trans tune. He's gonna be at the track all weekend, putting all the love into these tunes, making sure the cars are running good. Tim's not even racing; he's just being a good guy, coming down and tuning them for us.
Yep,
it's pretty funny because Bo came to me late last week, and he was like, "All right, Tim, I need you to have like." Yeti Cruise, our blue turd Sonic, in the Camaro all on kill mode. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I get all of them scanned and I find out that they've been on kill mode for like 10 years.
And I was like, makes sense. It's like we spent probably, honestly, maybe 100 hours a piece just between like from like day one when that car was tuned. Through how many dyno videos we had for Yeti, build series. And then, you know, all the street revisions we did when I was driving them 100 miles a day. I've taken both those cars home for a full winter last year and then Blue Turd this winter, improving our 1.0 trans file stuff with Tim and just overall learning where we need to run boosts and timing and carrying timing out the door, which is a big thing.
Yeah, on 1.4 especially. It's tough.
So, yeah, we were real happy to see that they were dialed.
What's nice is that Yeti is on a stock engine still.
And, so is the blue car.
And yep. So is the
we
blue car.
We got two stock engine Z04 cars.
Yeah, yep. So we have two Z04 cars pretty much set to kill for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And they're still running.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. Like, they've been on gas. They've been on E85. They run on whatever somebody dumps in the tank.
It's pretty killer.
You
know, well over 300 crank.
Yeah. Both
through an auto trans.
Yeah.
And they're...
Both cars on our old dyno make an honest 240 wheel horsepower.
Yep.
Which
is about 20% less than a manual car makes.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, it's...
What can you do?
It is what it is.
And I guess we say they're on kill. They're not necessarily on kill. They're just good. They're dialed.
Yeah.
They're optimized.
Yeah. Like, you know, I turn them up as much as I can for the fuel that I'm, you know, that I'm... That's in them when I'm scanning, but yeah, they're running good, and it says a lot about like I had a guy just email me today, and he was like, oh, I want to forge my 1.4 because I hear the engines fail at 200 wheel. And I'm like,
No.
Like, these cars literally 2 years at 240 plus wheel. And they're on the stock engines. So it's a pretty good, solid engine.
It is. Yep. Iron block. Those little baby pistons doing work.
Yeah. Bill Kish has been talking about getting a Sonic, Bill.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bill Kish wants a Sonic.
Yeah, okay. I'm like, you're going to like a lot of things about it, man. It's like a little baby 3800. Shouts out to Tyler Spain. He's been driving the cruise all winter. And he's never been drag racing. So I'm like, Tyler, why don't you bring that
thing
out? Let's
do it.
Let's get some seat time.
We're breaking the seal on the the old drag strip there. This will be first time on the strip. I've technically been there for multiple events, haven't actually driven. This will be the main three race events.
Oh yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Autocross, I've road coursed. Now we're going for
there
drag.
There we go. And it's in a shop car, so you just beat the crap out of it, and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
drag racing is a ton of fun, and I don't care what anybody says about going in a straight line. It's a lot of fun. As long as the track operation is there.
The art of racing and the act of doing the racing is the fun part. It's the sitting in line that is not.
Yeah.
But
at least we're going to have a good gang of guys out there tomorrow. If we are waiting around, it's still going to be a good day. Michigan's blessed us with, looks like, high 50s, maybe 60 degrees and sunshine.
Yeah.
Spring opener's happening.
Sun. Hopefully.
I'll probably have to bring up some loaded hot chocolate to keep me warm.
Ooh, there you go. There you
loaded
go.
Hot chocolate. I like the way you think. See, we were talking about prepping our Maroon Grand Prix GTP for a couple passes tomorrow for some valve train testing and just see when
some 3800 content.
Some 3800 content for you guys. And I had a set of used slicks around, and we were fitting those up. Long story short, the stars didn't align. I could push the envelope and make it happen, but we're going to be...
Those are some big tires.
We're going to be reserved. It's the first outing. The car will make it out. So we're just going to focus on setting both Sonic and Cruise auto records tomorrow, along with a Camaro record and then maybe another Camaro record because...
that's just what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mayo Camaro's making an appearance fresh off the dyno.
Yeah, yeah. Matt had Alan's car on the dyno today, made some really good power. That's on a, for those that don't know, that's on a, it's an LTG still, S257 turbo making basically 600 wheel. Alan put a 8L90 from the SS Camaros in it a year ago, something like that. But he did all that work, custom drive shaft, all that. It's got the SS rear diff. So this thing is like, it is ready to rip into the nines. And, man, it's... Oh, that Belmont... Did Matt tell you that Bellmouth that he put on the intake picked up 20 wheel over the filter?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he... that car was making, I don't know, like high 500, low 600 wheel. And they made a 3.5-inch intake for it because that's right around where it benefits to go from a 3-inch to like a 3.5. But he didn't really gain any power.
Mm-hmm.
But what's cool is that these cars have a multi-sensor. People usually call them MAF sensors.
Oh, yeah.
But it's
a
multi-sensor in the intake. So what's cool is that multi-sensor has a map in it. And
it does.
when you floor it, if you see the map signal drop a whole bunch when you go full throttle, that means your intake is restricted.
Yeah. There's vacuum in the intake pipe.
And then Matt was like, yeah, like the map drops like quite a bit when I floor it.
Mm.
So we were discussing, he's like, we should probably try a freer flowing air filter.
Yeah.
And we didn't have one that fit in the location. So I had this like a bell mouth.
Yeah.
And he rigged up a coupler to, in place of it just to see what it would do. And it helped. So
it's weird. Right down to that bell mouth mod today, our car's like... just kind of cooperated and fell together because normally ZZP is like, like we're talking about going racing, yet you don't know we're going to go down to the shop for 8 hours tonight and wrench on cars to make it there in the morning.
Yeah.
But like literally we are 100% ready.
It was,
all the cars are driving
it was
there tomorrow.
Yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were ready yesterday.
And,
thanks to Ryan Klein, our mechanic, like he spent a full 8 hour day prepping three cars.
I don't know the last time, if ever, that has gone together that well. So
yeah
it's gonna
be
a good day.
Like honestly, we're all just gonna sit back, kick our feet up, get a good night's sleep tonight, and hit the track in the morning with lots of energy and enthusiasm.
And it's selfishly, it's nice that it's at noon, so I can sleep in a little bit. Just meander out to the car. And
I noticed somebody earlier said something about, like, what do I need to do to go to the drag strip and race? Number one, I'm going to give you some basic pointers. Try to show up pretty low on fuel. Obviously, every 100 pounds your car is lighter is of a tenth of a second that you are quicker.
And each gallon of gas that you have in the tank is 6 pounds.
Yeah.
So if you were topped up, you might have 100 pounds in there.
And then obviously, if you can kind of, you know, persuade the weight bias to your drive tires, then that's highly beneficial. So if you're a front-wheel drive car and your fuel tank's behind the driver's seat, you know, obviously the weight being off the back of the car is highly beneficial to the front traction. Removing any ounce of weight from the car that you can makes it lighter. Also, another thing to control your weight bias. So if you go to the drag strip, like, pull your spare tire out of the trunk, pull your trunk, whatever easy stuff there is to pull out of your trunk, pull your floor mats out of the car. Things you have to have when you go to the drag strip. Generally long sleeve shirts, because of like a potential fire situation. Always pants. You're never going to be able to drag race in shorts.
Yeah.
So
this
pants.
Isn't Tim just being a dad to you. The track officials will want to see that when you pull up the tech. At you.
Yep. Pants bare minimum. Probably a long sleeve shirt. Just bring one just in case. You're also going to need a helmet. That rule is track dependent. Sometimes if you run slower than 14s, they'll let you race without a helmet.
13, 5, just 14.
Bring a freaking helmet. Why not? Because like if the tech really wants to stress about it, he's not going to let you race. Yeah. Number two, make sure that helmet is like a current year range.
Yeah, don't grab your dad's helmet from 1979.
Yeah. I generally like to bring a gas can with me with fuel in it, and then I like to show up darn near on fumes. Mm-hmm. And then, like, as I race, maybe I'll splash a little bit in.
Yeah.
You know,
JPL says fire extinguisher.
Fire extinguisher is never a bad idea.
No,
I mean,
in any car.
With all of us working on our cars as much as we have, like, every bolt has been turned multiple times. Like, it is never a bad idea to have a fire extinguisher in your vehicle.
Yeah. Before we move on from the low fuel thing, Tim's absolutely right. We love to run all of our cars super low. I'll give one exception to this, and it would be a 3800 or an LSJ that might have super modified fuel canister setup. And
if you have a scavenging issue.
Yeah.
If your car is doing weird stuff when you turn corners, obviously you need to know how much fuel keeps it happy.
Yeah.
And keep that much in.
Well, the thing is. And I see it a lot of guys with 3800 for moat tuning. Nobody's ever held their car wide open throttle for 12 seconds before, which it's, you know, and I don't mean to be a hypocrite because last week we were just talking about guys holding their cars wide open throttle for too long in ATSs. But like, it's funny how dependent it is to the platform. 3800 guys don't hold their cars open for 12 seconds in a row. So
those gears are so long too.
Yeah, you've never done that. So like, back to Tim's info. If you maybe have a wideband or a fuel pressure gauge in the car, or be scanning it with HP tuners and watching the O2 millivolts. But long story short, if you have a 320 AM 320 in the car, you've kind of hacked the canister, made it work. You might need a half a tank. I race the Regal above a half a tank all times, and I've been around fuel pump canisters enough.
We got a wild Ryan Derrick up in here.
I'm coming up here to deliver some good-looking parts.
Ooh. So a couple weeks ago, we had Mike's handmade lamp up in here, and it just came back from powder coating.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan.
Gotcha. Sneak peek at our new lobby lamp. Thanks, Ryan.
Literally, Ross Martin saying, our fab guy, he's saying he ran out of fuel at the end of the track running it low.
We also remember when Shane... also ran out of fuel like halfway down the track.
Speaking of Ross, hate to tell you, I didn't check your check engine light today. We'll have to do that after the podcast, bro.
Ooh, yeah, it looks good in the light.
Yeah, once it gets light on there.
So yeah, Mike built some killer lamps There's normally a lamp on top of that for our new waiting room.
And a red ZZP filter.
So you guys come visit us. You can come see him for yourself.
That's right.
Mike will take commissions, you know.
Yeah, I could make more.
It's a shop hourly rate, though.
Yeah, right. Other than that, I mean, like we say with all the, you know, any form of racing, bolt check, make sure your stuff is tight. You know, if you get on the highway and at 70, your wheel's jiggling around because your wheel weights are off or whatever, don't go to the track. You know, make sure your car is mechanically good. Make sure it's not leaking. Make sure that it's not on its last leg. Like, yeah. Yep. You know, you'll sometimes have guys that'll be like, oh, it's just not feeling right. Just don't go to the track.
Nobody's going to be more mad at you than if you show up and you spill oil on the track because they have to shut it down for like an hour to clean it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If
that hour takes forever.
If that happens, if something goes wrong with your car while you are, you know, getting out of the hole or whatever, pull over. Get over to the side.
Pull over.
Get out of the groove.
Swerve right over to the
wall. Get as close as you can without hitting it. Now, you know, if a wheel breaks, obviously, you're not going to have control. But
so last year when the last pass of streetcar takeover, when the Regal decided to absolutely scatter a bottom end because I was running an L36 way past its limits, I pulled over and I got out of the car and I told the guys, I'm like, man, I'm sorry. Like, is there any oil on the track? He's like, no, dude, you're good. It's all right under you. And I'm like, and that's why you pull over, because like the car literally shut off. I pulled over, and by the time I pulled over, it just dumped it all on the edge of the track. And there was like a 10-minute check cleanup. It wasn't a big deal.
So much better. Cause if it's in the center, they got to run the dryers. They got to get the cat litter out. They got to re-put down VHT or whatever.
Yeah.
Like it is a process, but hopefully that happens to no one, but just in case.
And then other than that, if you're a front wheel drive guy, we love to crank up the dampening in the rear, or maybe do a cable mod for your old Grand Prix guys. Google the cable mod if you don't know what that is. It only works on a factory strut, spring spacers or such.
I mean, you can attach it to anything. I mean, you could probably drill a hole.
It works
your lower
best on a factory strut.
And, you know, run the cable through that. But yeah, it's if let's say you're front wheel drive, doing anything you can to stiffen up the rear to reduce the squat of taking off. It's kind of like when you see a front wheel drive car with a wheelie bar. It's not really a wheelie bar.
You
want to
reduce
drive.
The weight transfer
it's
because that
it's
all
an
just
anti-transfer
takes
bar, basically.
Yeah.
It's something that's holding some weight out behind the car to keep the weight on the front of the car when it takes off. Because I don't care if you're front wheel drive or rear wheel drive, the front of the car picks up when you take off.
Yeah. It's just physics.
Know, it's what happens. So stiffening the rear suspension. I also love to run high tire pressure in the non-drive tires. And then an optimal tire pressure for the drive tires.
I'm glad you brought that up. I max the rear out 44 pounds, 50 pounds, whatever the rear rating is. And then, you know, even if you're on a bone stock street tire, you should at least be sitting at 20 pounds, 25 pounds.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And if
a
you're
street tire, like 20, 25.
Yeah. You don't need
you have to have like
down.
A slick to be able to run like, you know, 10, 12, maybe 14 pounds. You know, 8 pounds probably in the Sonic.
Yeah.
Something super light.
That Sonic is horrible to drive to the line because the power steering's gone. And then you're just like.
Yeah. Yeah, my Grand Prix, I would run 10 and 12.
Yep. You know?
Yep.
You know, T-Spain, your first time going, what are your questions? Because obviously there's a couple guys in here who have never been either. So, you know, anything that you're thinking, they're probably thinking as well.
So, I mean, we've already kind of covered some of this stuff. Obviously, safety equipment, bring as much as you can. My personal questions, it's kind of tough because you guys are already getting Yeti set up for me.
That's true.
I was curious about the tire pressure. I didn't realize that you aired the rears up.
Mm-hmm. Less rolling resistance.
Yep. Less contact patch.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Once again, less squat. You know, something, you know, one more thing holding that rear end tight.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about some launching styles too. I mean,
I like that idea.
You know,
don't run your AC in the burnout box.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned that. I don't know where the post is, but like your AC is pulling humidity out of the air in the car to make it feel cold. So what is it, what happens with that? Like heating and cooling things, like water accrues. Mm-hmm. And then that water drips out of the underside of your car onto the race surface.
Yep.
I would imagine I probably don't have to explain why that's bad. So yeah, definitely do not run the AC. Make sure the AC is off. Plus it just runs the engine harder because you're driving that pump. So like it's going to generate more heat. So yeah, definitely shut the AC off. For launching, there's so many different launching styles. I mean, yeah, drag racing, all you do is just floor in a straight line, but it's so freaking hard to get a car on normal street tires out of the hole. There's like, you know, first you want to, you know, you got to stage the bulbs, stage and bolt the bulbs. If you don't know how to do that, I would definitely watch a video. Or when you get to the drag strip, just watch people race for 10 minutes and analyze every movement.
Yeah.
So you have a good understanding of what it is. Because the first time you pull up to the bulbs, man, it is freaking scary.
It is. It's overwhelming.
There's somewhere between 40 and hundreds of people watching you. And you feel like there's times two that many people staring at you. Because they are. And they want you to double bulb somebody. They want you to drive past the beams and so they can talk crap.
Yeah, like, you gotta back up.
So first, you know, if you're on street tires, don't do a burnout. Don't drive through the water, don't sit in the water. Drive around it if you can. Do what you can to drive around it. You know, keep your drive tires, your non-drive tires out of the water. You don't want to run that water up there. If you have slicks, you don't need to listen to me because you know what you're freaking doing.
yeah, you should.
So
I burn out my street tires all the time. John Force burnout, dude.
See, you can, and if you do it just right, it's beneficial. But what's scary about street tires is how easy it is to break the car doing it.
Yeah.
Because you do not want to put your street tire in the water to do a burnout. Absolutely not. It will fill the tread with water, and there's all kinds of tread because it's a street tire.
Yeah,
it's a rain tire, you know. So still drive around. And if you drive around and you want to do a little dry hop and you're brave enough, go ahead and do a little dry hop.
Every Delta chassis owner, do not Cobalt's, do this.
Don't do any burnouts.
Do not.
No Cobalt burnouts.
Unless you have a slick.
15-inch like, slick or less.
Yeah. And but,
oh, my God.
But, yeah, launching on a street tire is it sucks.
It's
especially after
it does suck. So I've done it a ton. Like I
Yeah, so have I, yeah.
With the 3800, the thing is we don't need to build boost at the line or anything if you're on a street tire. Say you have a turbo car, but
pretty much nobody needs to build boost if you're on a street tire.
Yeah, because you're just going to blow them off.
All I do, and you know, thanks to Tim, he's coached me through a lot of this back in the day, but pull up to the line, creep into the bulbs, and then
there's two of them.
Yeah.
The first one, like you can kind of see a hole in the wall on the side to have an idea where your front tire needs to be. And as soon as you're getting close, as soon as you look at the hole in the wall, you get the car kind of close.
Yep.
And then you look at the bulbs. And then like you creep. Like we're talking like a quarter of a mile an hour.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Barely
off the brake,
moving.
On the brake, off the brake.
Because you want a nice shallow stage. Get the second bulb lit. And then I just bring the converter up to 2,500 RPM.
That preloads the drivetrain. The axles have a little bit of load. Just, the drive, everything has a little bit of load.
And, you know, RPM. One thing that a lot of people don't understand, and even I didn't when I started drag racing, when the light goes green, that does not mean go as soon as you can.
No.
Especially in a test and tune situation. You can sit there three more seconds if you want.
Yeah.
Five more seconds
if you
there,
want. Sit there, be... you know, mentally prepared, because once you hit that second beam and the other guy hits a second beam, you have, what, 2 seconds, something like that. And if you need to get up on the converter, if you need to build a little more boost, you know, if you need to just mentally get ready, let the other guy go.
Yeah. Man, I agree with you so much.
The green light's just telling you the track's clear.
Yeah.
That timer does not start until you trip that second beam.
Yep.
So you hit your first bulb. And then you creep, like an inch at a time. And then all of a sudden, boom, you get your second bulb. And, like, God, is there a great feeling if that second bulb is kind of, like, flickering.
Yeah, that's the
best. And you're like, yes, I have another 3 or 4 inches of launch before this timer starts. And then, like, the light goes green, or if you're really, like, bracket racing, like, you're going on, like, the last yellow to where the car moves it by the time it's turning green.
Yeah.
As soon as that second bulb shuts off because your car moved, the timer starts.
Yeah.
So like Tyler said, you can sit there for 3 seconds. You can let that loud open-headed, 14-second car
have an ass.
Run them down in your 3-4 Grand Prix.
You got your girlfriend, you got your boyfriend in the stands, whatever. You're like, I want this on video. And you got this stupid 14-second V8 guy with open headers.
Yeah.
Let him go. Just let him go. And you just sit there and just enjoy yourself, calm down, and then when you're ready to go, you just freaking hit the gas and go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The biggest thing I was going to say is just the 2,500 RPM mark, and then a solid, and you know, Tim Moy says bump it up 500 RPM at a time until it feels too aggressive.
Probably a little less, maybe.
Depending on 500 RPM.
Depending on your car.
Depending on how loose your converter is.
Yeah.
Like, if you've got a super loose converter, maybe 500, but like, you know, like he said,
the biggest thing is half pedal all the way through first gear. And as soon as it grabs second gear, just floor it.
Yep. And obviously that depends on the vehicle.
Not UT Spain. You're flooring it tomorrow from the line.
Some vehicles, like you can like half throttle it at the line, hold it to 2,500.
This is 3,800 specifics.
And as soon as you're ready to go, you kind of let off the brake and maybe roll into it. Yeah. If you're lucky, you can be floored before the second gear shift.
Yeah.
But most of us, if you've bought parts from us, you're probably going to have to wait until the second gear shift, like you said, to really roll into it.
Like, there's no way. And you'll feel the edge of traction. And the problem is, as soon as you break traction, there's no recovering. Like, the run's over.
Pretty much.
You are way better coasting through first gear at a good steady 60% throttle, and then it grabs second and flooring it.
And and this is especially applicable to street tires.
Yeah.
Like,
and the other thing is that you don't know is if you've got our 1.0 PCM with a cam file, it's gonna hit the shift point above 60% throttle at 6,200 RPM, regardless if you're at 60 or 100%. So all of our, especially our remote tune stuff, in first gear, because we know the tires are going to spin, it's going to complete the shift at 6,000 RPM, no matter if you're at 100% throttle or 60% throttle, because the mile an hour and the shift point is the same. So if you back off, it's still going to fully rev, which is what we want. We want to rev all the way out.
Last thing you want is it to blow the tires off, shift a second, and then all of a sudden bog.
Yeah.
And then downshift back to first, blow the tires off again.
So, you know, that's the trick Tim's implemented and I've carried on throughout all the 1.0 tuning is if you back off the throttle in first gear, it's still going to fully rev out and complete the shift at the proper mile an hour and RPM. So,
And then, obviously if you have drag radials, you're going to be able to get on the throttle more aggressive. You're going to be able to power brake it more. You're going to be able to roll into the throttle more. And then when you put slicks on, then it's like a whole different game.
Yeah.
Then at that point, like slicks, there's launching styles of power braking and stabbing the gas. There's launching styles of lighter on the gas and then stomping the gas to get the converter to flash, let's say. Because the harder you power brake it, the less converter flash you're going to get. And converter flash is kind of what you're trying to avoid on street tires anyway, because there's a surge of torque, and then the tires can't hold that surge of torque.
Yeah,
so the more you power brake it, the less converter flash there is. Like, there kind of really isn't any if you're power braking to 2,500 already, because that's already a decent amount of power braking. But yeah, like Bo said, like, once you blow the tires off, like, don't even try to recoup that run. Just, like, let off the gas a little bit. Get down there. Don't go 30 miles an hour and make everybody wait for a whole minute.
Get moving and then go floor it.
You know, and then come back around and just tweak what you did a little bit.
But what you were saying with the RPM increases, you know, on an automatic car, you're going to hit a point where you're going to drive through the brakes.
Yeah.
So, you know, on the Camaro, it has gigantic front brakes. So I can pretty much stomp both of them and it's good. But, you know, on a, say a Sonic or a Cruise, you know, get up there, get into your second yellow and just pump, like pump that brake pedal and stand on it.
Yeah.
And then you'll find a point where you can usually hear it.
Yeah, you hear the rear like.
Yeah, you'll hear it go. Yeah. And that's your point. That is where you need to be minus two.
two RPMs.
And then you're like, okay, this is where I need to go. And then, yeah, it completely dependent on the car. You know, the Camaro's got slick, so I'm gonna get up there, build as much boost as I can, and let it go and let her eat.
There's so many tricks to this too, like So what I did with my Grand Prix is I wanted the brakes to work at a stop, not necessarily for stopping at 150 miles an hour. My Grand Prix that I had 20 years ago, I didn't road course race. Like Bo does the road course racing. Like he's going to have a racy brake pad on his car and it's not going to hold his car standstill.
Yeah, it's going to require heat.
Because, yeah, the racing brake pads require heat to work. Mm-hmm. So like... You know, you do not want cheap brake pads. You want a good street pad.
A good cold bite.
Yep. A good cold bite pad if you're a drag racer that has like a sticky tire. But yeah, like you need to flirt with that line. Like power brake it to 2,000 and launch it. Power brake it to 2,200 and launch it again. Because if you keep doing it, it might take you four passes or something, but like, every pass is going to get better and quicker and quicker. Uh-huh. And that's a great feeling. The worst feeling is going out on your first run and just blowing the tires off and just you're just mad and you're like, I didn't learn anything from this pull or this pass at all.
It wouldn't be a bad idea if it's your first pass ever to just go up there, put your foot on the brake, don't load the converter and just leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just roll out.
Yeah.
And just get nothing the experience. Wrong with
that. And you know, this is especially, like I said, applicable to Delta chassis owners. If it's your manual Cobalt and you want to go run, have fun, but do not launch that car on street tires.
It's pretty wild.
Do not. You will break it.
I thought I was a pretty seasoned drag racer racing auto cars, and then I took our old Ion out and thought I was going to be pretty cool and run some passes and broke the heck out of everything because when you try and slip that clutch aggressively. Like I thought I was slipping it. No, you need to slip.
Yeah.
Man, that is a freaking art.
It really is. But like you're like, oh yeah, I'll slip it a little. No, you need to absolutely slip it. Maybe even try leaving in second. I don't know because I didn't do it enough. I did it once, broke everything, and never tried it again in a Delta car because it's hard. Went on
the trailer. Like what? The second pass? First?
This second, I think. here's some... hops so bad. Oh, instantly. And hopping. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. Pow, brakes.
If your car is hopping, let out.
Yeah. Immediately.
You half pedal it, it still hops. It just doesn't stop.
The first wheel hop you get, you push in that clutch so freaking fast. And then if you don't
turn it off.
If you don't brake, give it a tap on the dash. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Yep. Well, that's the crazy thing is I think when I broke the car, it hopped. I got the hop out, pedaled in again, and it hopped again and broke. Like they are so hop happy because the drivetrain is directly connected to the wheels. There's no torque converter to take anything out of it. There's no big slick to eat up.
It's just going.
It's boom, and it breaks traction, grabs traction, breaks traction, grabs traction until it breaks.
If you're lucky, you break an axle. If you're not lucky, you break a transmission.
Yeah. And if you have an F35, you might do both. Por que no los dos?
Back to Ross, like ATSV stuff. Like ATSV is almost what Ross joked about there.
Almost.
An ATSV manual. Oh, man, I freaking love that stock clutch. The problem is that stock twin disc organic clutch can only handle about 5 launches this way. But if you have slicks on the car and you want the fastest manual tranny spot, this is how you do it. You get up there. You do not use any of the launch control. You just put it in sport 2 because that pretty much shuts everything off. You sport 2 it and you get up there. You get both bulbs lit. You get ready to go. You slam the gas pedal to the floor And when it hits around 6,500, you just dump the clutch.
You just sidestep it.
What's awesome about the stock clutch is it slips just enough to where it's a smooth engagement and you're like a 155 to 158, 60 foot. Yeah. And then you just no lift the 1-2 and you're good to go in like 10 threes all day long.
Sorry, don't want to interrupt you. Nate Ashcraft and John Franks talking about launching manual skies. We have, we should have brought this up here. Yep. Just hit the website this week. We have our Kappa rear diff brace.
Camo.
It's billet aluminum, laser cut steel, powder coated anodized. It looks great. It goes onto your diff, and obviously these guys know what they're talking about. Those things are glass. And
man, I've broken two of them.
GM used the same diff out of the CTS V1, which was already horrible. And then because it was an intern project, they put it in the Kappa. But basically, it stops the tweaking, the vibrations, you know.
Case flex,
whatever it may be.
Pinion to ring gear, like tension.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, one of mine, I broke the front of the snout off. So I'm assuming that's like a ring gear, pinion
just
gear
push
issue.
The pinion right
it
out
just,
of it.
Pah, just rips it right in half.
But yeah, that's on the site. $200, give you some extra insurance, so you're not ending up like Tim calling Bo and getting a
tow trucks.
Tow trucks.
Tim's really good. The one time he broke it, he rolled right into the back lot with it.
Cause... yeah, because it was right there.
Yeah, I made a mess of our parking lot. Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
Nothing stinks worse than
this. Oh, yep. Yeah. No, that is bad.
Okay, so I guess next question: traction control.
Off.
There's two different versions. Do you go just traction or stability as well?
Just traction's fine.
All right. Now, if you have an ATS-V, that is that is GM's top performance level of car. You can run with the traction control on if you're on a street tire. I ran better times with the R888Rs on the car with the traction control on.
Okay. But they actually spent time on it.
Yeah, but they spent time on it. But like on a cruise, on a Grand Prix, like no, full off.
Yeah.
Full off.
Yep. Full off.
Because it is so invasive.
And like on the Camaro or on the Sonic, you have to turn off the stability control too, because it'll grab the brakes and it doesn't get happy. So you know, certain cars you might have to pull the ABS fuse to get everything out of the way, but you know, that's something you have to play with your whatever car you're dealing with. But you just want to eliminate the nannies. If it's your first time at the track, you know, leave traction control on if you want.
Sure. If you need a few passes to get used to racing, like to get
etiquette.
Your nerves
to
get your nerves under control, sure, race with the traction control on. It's fine.
But like Bo was, you know, driving in, you need to be on that edge of grip. You need to find that, and it takes
when you feel it
passes and passes and passes.
When you feel it,
yeah.
When you're like, oh, that was so close.
That was good.
That's like all this had in that 60, dude. Uh-huh. There's no better feeling.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, the 90% of your ET is your 60 foot. Yeah. I mean, you can back half, make up some mile per hour, but it is all in that 60 foot. And if you get halfway down the track and it felt like a good run, it's a good run. Like,
yeah.
So to carry off what you're saying about 60 foot, last year at Street Car Takeover, we had Matt's 2-liter ATS there on the stock turbo. He did the 10-second pass on the stock turbo. And sorry, Matt, because I'm probably going to butcher this, but he had a really good 60 foot, called a 1.5, 60 foot, 1.6, 60
foot.
It was
like a 1.3.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I apologize, Matt.
It was fast.
But he ran low 120 mile an hour and ran a 10.98 with a good 60 because he had its rear-wheel drive car set up for drag racing. The Regal ran 11.7 at 124 miles an hour. I had like 4 mile an hour on him, but it was almost a full second slower because Matt's 60 foot was a half a second faster.
Yeah.
And that half a second faster was literally doubled in the
any tenth you pick up in the 60 foot is 2/10 out the door.
Yeah.
So half a second. I mean, if you're talking 1.5 to 2.0, that's, And 2.0 on street tires is pretty solid.
Yeah, that was just, I drove it to the track.
1.4, still. 1.4, yeah. That's fast.
That makes all of it right there in the world. 1.4 60 foot compared to a 2.0 60 foot. I ran 4 mile an hour faster than him overall, and yet he was almost a full second faster than me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the 60 foot is a big deal. I'm just dumb enough to never get a right tire in the car.
Well, it's not really a drag car.
It's not. Yeah. And that's why I'm not drag racing it this year. You know, it's that teeter totter we constantly battle with, you know, with all of our cars, you know.
What's its purpose?
And
you can't have a car do everything.
You really can't.
Can't have a car do everything to the best of its ability.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. You can have a car that kind of does everything good, which, you know, an 11 second Regal that also goes to Tail of the Dragon and wins autocrosses is good. But like, it could be a 10. Casual. It could be a 10 second Regal.
Yep.
Easily.
Yeah.
I mean, I could literally bring it out this year as a 10-second Regal, but it wouldn't be able to go to the autocross the following weekend. And so, like,
you're setting up suspension different. You're taking weight out of the car that makes it not as
drivable. The wheel and tire package, the brake package.
Yeah, the brake package. The gearing. Like, with my Grand Prix back in the day, this is 20 years ago, like, my Grand Prix had Grand Am brakes on it because they were smaller and lighter than Grand Prix brakes.
Yeah.
You know, because more sidewall is better, so you want to run that 15-inch wheel on a Grand Prix. You can't run that on stock brakes.
But, I mean, like, even like your HSV.
You can't autocross a freaking a Regal on Grand Am brakes.
Yeah, no.
Like, think about your ATSV, though. If we purpose-built your ATSV for drag strip, how fast could it be? Yeah, we don't want that because your ATSV, that's not its job here. Its job is to do everything else basically about the drag strip. It also happens to be good when we put a tire on it and go have fun.
Yeah.
R&D parts, you know, that's cool. But it's a fine teeter totter of drivability, you know, functionality. So if drag racing, it's addictive because it will want to make you take your good, well-mannered street car and absolutely ruin it. I mean, Drag Sonic's a perfect example.
Yeah.
When I met Tyler, that car's job was to haul people around from Dino Day
to here to there.
It was we zip it across the street back and forth. It's cute. It has a V2 on it. It makes 180 wheels. Why are you taking words out of my mouth? You're kidding. But, and then, you know, a quick, smooth 3 years later, it's 650 wheel horsepower, gutted, and 14-inch wheels.
Yep.
And there's no way you're running across the street evenly.
No.
Yeah, 13-inch
you're not casually running people in a taxi across the street in that anymore.
But I am still waiting. I'm still waiting over here. Ready for Tyler to be like, I'm done with the Sonic, Tim. It's all yours to time attack. And then I'll put the Tim Sonic package on there. And then it's going to be the baddest ass time attack car.
With the cage and how light it is.
Oh my goodness.
Insane.
Do you know the beautiful music I will play with that car?
And a full exhaust again and not out the hood.
No. It's staying out the hood.
No, it's not, dog.
Pop, it is.
At least under the car somewhere.
No.
Stop.
Out the hood. It's a time attack car. I already got a splitter that I hate running on my Sonic. We'll just put that on there because I can't drive through car washes anymore with a darn splitter on it. That's something you just don't think about. You're like,
Here's what I'm talking about. That
cool
teeter
splitter.
Totter of race car.
Yeah.
I can't get my race car through the car wash.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, well, I guess this splitter's not going back on. Like, I'm too lazy to hand wash this thing.
Yeah.
Like,
as Randy says, the Scratch-O-Matic. You bet. I don't want to hand wash.
Yep.
Crap.
See, I just have it buffed once a year.
Once a year.
Once
in the spring.
Buff and wax.
Put a good wax on it.
Yep.
Wear it off the rest of the season with that auto wash.
Scratch-O-Matic. I mean, it's a freaking race car anyway. Like, you know, I was talking to somebody and I was like, man, like, you have no idea the wear and tear that goes on your car when you're on road course.
So, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Windshields, bumper covers, hoods.
I feel it.
Yeah.
So, I showed up to ZZP 4 years ago with a fresh bumper and a fresh windshield. And if you know, the Regal looks good in pictures. It is a clean car. But if you got up to it, dude, following these guys around, it is trashed. It has three rock chips in the windshield, speckled, the bumper's wasted, the hood's wasted.
I can explain this. So you're at the road course, you're racing, you're having a good day, you're having fun. And then all of a sudden you see, fill in the blank. I'll use one example, probably the one that did my ATSV in. You see a Ferrari 458 on track, and you're like, I think I'm catching this Ferrari. And you're like, you know, keep going. You're catching. And you are riding his bumper.
Yeah.
This is a freaking Ferrari. You know, he's, you know, touching a tire here, touching a tire there, chucking rocks at you. Yep. But you're jacked. Yeah. This Ferrari is going to give me a point by.
Yep.
And when he does, it is so glorious. And then when you're driving home and the sun hits your windshield just right, and you're like,
oh, that's new.
Yeah.
That's new.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not talking like circle chips. I just mean like, it's like you take imagine a sandblaster yeah. and just yeah. blast yep. your windshield.
Yeah. When like the sun hits it, it gets bad. I do need a new windshield this year. That's on my list.
Yeah.
If you're responsible and you don't like tailgate people on road course, then you're totally fine. You could have a show car and road course it. But like, as soon as you see that car in front of you, you gotta be responsible enough to be like, all right,
you know, that's the battle we fight with using our cars. Mm-hmm. It puts them through the ringer. You come home from 131. You've seen my mud flaps.
Yeah.
Tons just, of rubber.
I can take my knife and just cut
scrape it off
yeah.
the whole wheel well it's up actually, the side of the car.
It's very satisfying.
You know, and then you know, we go to Tail of the Dragon, we're chasing each other through the mountains. Tim dips a tire in the rocks up my stuff. We're still going, you know. Yeah,
we got sticky tires flinging up gravel roads into freshly wrapped cars.
Basically.
Yeah, you specifically fresh wrap before sprayed. Tail.
Like my thing I do when I'm on Tail of the Dragon, the corners are tight. Like if I nail it perfect, I can hook a back tire in the ditch.
Yeah.
And you feel it just kind of set down and then pick back up, and you're like, yep, got that one. Good. But it's probably not great for the
Ryan was giving me crap about scratching wheels and stuff last night, test fit, and I'm like, what do you mean, dude? I literally pick these up and scratch them on purpose because I don't want to worry about
them. First one out of the way.
Yeah, it's a thing, you know. I'm just pick them up, throwing them in the HHR, stacking them on each other. Get home, blast the lug nuts in them.
Beat up.
Hey Barry, actually, like earlier in this podcast, we talked a lot about it, but on top of what we said and all the stuff we probably forgot, if you Google like how to drag race. Like they will have videos on it.
Yeah.
Like it probably in-car videos explaining everything. I would imagine they even like each drag strip might have a video on it.
What's cool is show up, Barry, get your car teched in. You know, I would say the drag racing community is one of the better communities that you can deal with. Oh, you show up and we do it. We're also in, you know, we go to a new track. Hey man, where's tech at? There is not anybody there that's like, hey, brother, it's that tent down there. You know, take a left after the barrel. It's down there. So, you know, get teched in. Get in line. You're going to be nervous as heck.
I'm glad you mentioned tech. Tell people what tech is.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yeah, we totally glossed over that.
Yeah.
It is an inspection.
you pull into the drag strip. You know, they ask, are you racing? Yep, I'm racing. You pay. You get your wristband. You pull in. So
you get a tech card.
Yeah. Well, not always. Normally, you gotta get the tech card at tech. But
okay.
Yeah, I do. I get what you're saying.
Keep going.
Hand you a tech card if you, let's say the track's on top of their stuff. Hey, I'm racing. Here's your tech card.
Fill it out.
So the tech card is just your make, model, your name, a lot of info right down to your social security number. Don't put that on there.
It's for insurance. Well,
If you don't put it on there, they don't.
So it's good.
If you don't put it on there, they don't care. From my experience, at least, I just that's weird.
Yep.
Anyway, fill out your tech card. Find the tech booth. It's normally some old timer sitting in a booth or a truck at the end of the track.
Yep.
You pull up there. There's usually a line of maybe 3, 4, 5 cars.
Yeah. Look for the lines for sure.
This is the most important part is he's going to number your vehicle. And he just, you know, and what's cool is most times they let you pick your number. So if you got a 3-digit number that's your favorite, let them know. They'll put it on your windshield and your side door.
A number?
Have your hood popped.
If you don't
have
pick,
your helmet out of its helmet bag and ready for them to look at.
Yeah, so they're teching your car. Most things they look for in our, let's say we're racing a platform vehicle, they're going to look for, do you have a helmet and is your battery secured?
Yep.
Has the car been modified? Yes or no? Pop the hood. It's usually no big deal.
Do you have seat belts?
Yeah. Are they
closed-toed shoes?
Do you leak fluids?
Yeah.
Listen, you oil leakers.
Is there oil everywhere in your engine bay? Like, they're probably going to go, where's that coming from?
Fix your freaking oil leaks. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yep.
So they get you teched in, give you your number, like I said. You hand them the tech card. And then basically after you pass tech, it's a light tech. Don't think of it as like a multi-point inspection.
They're not going to be grabbing your...
It's pretty easy, breezy, beautiful as long as you got a car that's working.
It's generally lighter heart than like going to get an oil change. They're going to be checking less things. They're trusting you to know your car.
Yeah, an autocross generally has a more in-depth...
I agree.
Autocross checks.
There's a lot of safety stuff.
I forget what I got hit for last year. It was so ridiculous. Oh,
Barry, common mistake in like what, you know, first timer at the drag strip, go in, don't have any expectations. It sounds silly, but you know, the internet makes us all jaded because everyone's got 1,000 horsepower cars and they run eights.
That's the other thing. There's nobody there with 1,000 horsepower, maybe like one or two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go and have fun. Like,
I'm coming in an automatic cruise.
Come
hang out.
What I was going to say,
even if you don't race, come hang out.
When you're in line, talk to the guy in front of you. Talk to the guy behind you. Talk to the guy to your left.
Yeah.
You're going to pick up so much stuff on how to do this, what they've been doing, how long they've been doing it. Because let me tell you, everybody at the drag strip wants to talk about their stuff.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And you know what? What do you run, man? How are you successful, you know, doing this? Like, you're going to pick up on things. And then what's cool is you're kind of grouped together. So when you come back around, you're going to see that same guy in front of you. Man, what'd you run?
Yep.
Dude,
yep.
I just did this and that. Yeah,
I blew the tires off. Yeah, it was horrible.
So just be friendly. We're all friendly.
And everyone thinks that they are the best drag racer that's ever happened. So, of course, they want to tell you all the secrets.
My granddaddy built this car, and we've been bracket racing it 12 holes for...
And just, like, just pick up on cues. If somebody's working on their car, don't go talk to that guy. Yeah. Talk to the guy sitting in his chair hanging out or standing next to his car. You know, just common sense. I think not having expectations, going up... figuring things out, like Tim said, go to the line for 10 minutes and just watch.
That's
people.
Huge.
Just watch them.
That is huge.
You know, don't do a 3-minute long burnout like every Mopar does. Just
I'm all about
with
the burnout.
With burnouts. All right, so
he's there for the burnout.
Those
guys love it on the limiter, and I can't help but do it.
It is funny. All right, so. There's probably none of you in here, but let's say that you're like first person, like this is your first experience on like a sticky-ish tire. So like a drag radial, 200 or lower tread wear tire. What you're going to do is you're going to pull up to the burnout box, which is usually a pad of concrete. Usually it's a concrete pad, not
different,
just
like different
tarmac.
Colored. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can tell what it is.
There's a hose there and a guy standing there and it's usually wet. Number one, don't assume that guy knows your drive tires.
Yeah.
Oh my
that's
God.
That's a huge thing.
You know, love to pull from
insert a full
through.
Hour podcast on how the guy doesn't know it's front wheel drive and where to place you.
Yeah.
All right. Generally they want you to drive through the water box and maybe a foot out of it and do your burnout there. Mm. The reason why is so you're not chucking all
water.
The standing water in your wheel wells that's going to fall and fall everywhere and make a mess of the launch, you know, the launch pad, let's say. So you go to the water box, you know where your front tires are. They're going to try to pull you through it. Maybe pull and maybe stop yourself, even though they're like, yeah, keep coming.
Yeah,
feel free to just stop yourself when you feel like you're good.
He only gives you like 4 more waves before he realizes you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then what you're going to do is you're going to jack your e-brake. Either you got a pull handle, like, or you got the Grand Prix, the old double foot pedal.
Kick it.
Yeah. So for you Grand Prix 3800 guys, so what you do is you push it once and it locks it, right? So you push it a second time and hold it.
Yeah.
So now that puts the most amount of pressure on it, and as soon as you let off on it, it lets off. You don't have to like double pop it to
the e-brake
to get it
good.
To release.
I've never done a burnout with an e-brake.
You've never used your parking brake to do burnouts?
No, I just do the burnout like a man.
That is so bad on 3,800 differentials. All right.
I literally just floor it.
Don't listen to Bo on this one.
I mean, he did break his last season.
I double pump the parking brake. I do the burnout. As soon as I, like, you're feeling, be one with your car. Sorry to sound like this, but be one with your car. If the front end feels like it's kind of moving, you're good. Yep. If that front end feels locked and you're doing a burnout, I guarantee you're spinning one freaking tire.
Yeah.
If you spin one tire, you back up. You pull back in. You start all over again. And then you do the thing again, and I didn't quite say it.
No, you can, you only got three letters in.
I got him all worked up when he heard me say no e-brake.
you got me on that one. But once you get that front end kind of floating around in there, your drive tires are kind of floating around side to side, as soon as you see any hint of smoke, good.
Yeah, that's enough.
Like, I would only do like 90 mile an hour wheel spin in my Grand Prix. It would be like a 1-2, like kind of high RPM second gear for like maybe like a second or two. And then I would let go of the e-brake while the tires are spinning and let the car roll out.
Pull you through.
Do not pro stock burnout out of the burnout box.
I learned in this podcast my burnouts are way too big.
If you pro stock burnout out of the burnout box, what happens is the tires are spinning and you are pulling into Traction City.
Oh yeah. Like, I love the...
There is all the traction about 8 feet out of this water box. And then those tires grab, and one tire's like, yes! And then the other side is like, let's go! And then your diff has, like, you got to keep in mind, it's like an RC car, if you guys with RC cars. If you grab, let's say you're spinning those tires at 20 mile an hour, and you grab a tire, the other tire doubles in speed. Yeah, that's what happens in your car. Uh-huh. So now you have this crazy speed difference between your left and right tire, and the diff is like, I don't know what to do. I'm gonna get molten.
Yep.
Yeah. Tim is a little sensitive because he burned a diff in the back in the day.
A diff, bunch of them. So on my record pass in my Grand Prix, I did a pro stock burnout. I'm in like Sandusky, you know, freaking.
All I
Norwalk,
hear is
Ohio.
Fast pro stock burnout.
Like, the sweet burnout, like, my car's setting records.
Keep going.
Every pass is a dang record in this stupid Grand Prix GT.
Oh, those are the
GT.
Best days.
I do this pro stock burnout. I roll up to the line. I take off. This thing, like a 1.5 something 60 foot, like 20 years ago, which is amazing in a front wheel driver.
That's crazy.
I run my 10.9. I go to turn. I get to the end and I go to turn, and my car starts hopping.
It's like going like,
why? That. Because my diff went molten on me.
Yep.
And it was full posse. Full posse.
How does a posse track rear end work?
So I turn the corner. I get my time slip. I'm like, yep, my car's broke. But that's a 10.9. At the time, it was the fastest, like,
sounds like a forced upgrade.
Car.
Yeah.
You didn't even need to unload that.
I didn't even race the car anymore. I totally could have. Like, now after seeing it, it's like, oh, yeah, you
take
can't
it real
really turn.
Wide.
But, yeah.
But I was going to grab the helmet comments.
Yes.
Barry and Ethan, check 131's website. I do believe, if I'm not wrong, only 13.5 and faster, it might be 14, like Tim said, needs a helmet.
Regardless, grab one if you are curious at all, because better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, if you, say, for example, are in a stock turbo cruise, you're not going to need one.
Yeah.
You're not going faster than the 14. It's not really possible.
Yeah.
So, you know, check your local tracks website. Noah Hammock asked where to get a good race helmet. So, The rating for auto helmets is SA, and it'll be every 5 years they update the mandatory things, and they're good for 10. you know, Jegs, Summit.
Yeah,
Amazon even has them now.
Amazon has them. I have one, a Zamp.
I love Murray Motorsports.
Yeah, Murray Motorsports overseas. Like,
yeah, they're overseas. Their shipping is expensive, but man, when they have their sales, cheap.
Yeah,
it's not a bad deal. I bought one a while ago, not drag racing much, and then I've used it multiple times a year since. They pay for themselves quickly.
Oh yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, it's a requirement for most race events. Yeah. Like. Just
their quality helmet. You go go-karting, you can take it.
Yeah.
You can use it for a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Getting silly on a golf cart, you know, you might.
Worst case scenario, it's a good display to have in your garage.
Yeah. That too. Yeah.
Let's see.
Of course, if you race helmet, I love to see your faces on old dogs at the counter.
Let's say you're smart like Tyler. Buy a freaking fire suit. They're not that expensive. What's cool about a fire suit? All right. On a cold day, you know, it's a fire suit, so it's warm.
They're so warm.
On a hot day, you can take it off. Mm-hmm. You can have your tank top and your shorts, and then it's like, okay, I'm going to go race. I'm going to throw my fire suit on, race, and take my fire suit off.
And, like, I don't care what they say. You look cool in a racing suit.
It's official.
It's official. Legit, dog.
Yeah. Wrapping the stick.
So the quick recap that we've learned. At minimum, a couple safety things. Helmet, probably the best bet. Car, make sure it's safe.
Yep.
Do a double check. Yeah. Yep. Make sure you got your fluids.
Rear
make
tire
sure they're
pressure
not going
up,
anywhere.
Front down.
Low on fuel.
Yeah. You know your car. Monitor your fuel levels. But like, even if you show up on a full tank, show up. You're going to have a fun time.
Yeah.
You're going to get the experience.
And one thing that I love at any car event. Just walk around, check out the cars. Like there is some cool stuff, you know. And it's what's really cool about drag racing is these cars. Many of them are drag cars, so they're not out on the street. You're not seeing Jim, you know, with his 79 Chevelle or 69 Chevelle down the road. He never brings a car out except to go to there. So go look around. Most guys are super cool, and you can walk up and look in their engine bay and. Check out different things. Talk to people.
I mean, there are times, like, even being a car person who sells car parts, there are times I will walk under to another car, look in the hood, and, like, I don't know what that is. What did you do here?
Yeah.
This is cool.
Yeah. Oh, Barry, Z04? Whoo! All right. So, you got Barry to beat tomorrow.
Barry?
Nice. Barry's coming down to race.
Yeah, he's coming from Livonia.
Barry, so minimum you're going to need. Grab a helmet.
Yeah, grab a helmet with a Z04.
Come down. You're going to need some cash or at least a card to pay for the minimum fees. It's not that much. I think it's like $35.
Yeah. If you don't have a helmet, hang out.
Have fun.
Barry, you're bringing a Z04 tomorrow. I'll throw my helmet in. You can borrow it if you need, bro.
Hey,
yeah.
There you go.
Just show up. Come have fun.
Yeah. If you're legit coming to 131 tomorrow and you got all those parts, you're in for a treat. Because
yeah, I know.
We're going to be here doing the same thing and as far as I'm concerned, the world's finest tuner down there is going to be there as well. So if you got HP tuners, or if you don't, I guess we do. We'll
have like 9 of them down there.
Find us, man.
Yep, that's
find
what,
us.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
For the ZZP Camaro.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a big old billboard.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Barry, you've got plenty of helmets to grab.
Park near us. Come chill.
Yeah, so our Yeti Cruise is a white cruise. My Sonic is a green Sonic. You can't miss that.
You cannot miss that one.
The Moose will be there. That thing stands out. It's a maroon Regal.
On 10.5-inch wide wheels.
You can't help but stare at. Like, nobody is not noticing that Regal.
No. We're going to have a Camaro that's wrapped in our name. Yeah. So, yeah. Like, just come look for us.
Yeah. And Alan Mayo's Camaro is a beautiful blue.
Yeah.
So you'll see us.
That car is so nice.
Yeah, it's so nice.
Pretty blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, those back on the 4-stars for the dyno, I was like, God, they ain't.
Yeah, that's a good car.
Same thing with anybody else local. Like, even if you don't plan on racing,
yeah,
One of the local Cobalt guys is coming down.
Ross, if you're still Ross, our welder, if you're still listening, come on out, pal. Bring that ATS out and flex
Barry,
on everybody.
If you have HP tuners, if I haven't tuned it, scan it and I can like review your scans and like give you advice on the tuning if you need it.
Yeah.
At the track.
Yep. That's what we'll be
doing. That's what I'll be doing all day.
Yep.
So, you know, verifying everything's going well.
All right, boys.
Barry better come find us.
We are past 5. What are we doing this weekend, Tim? You start.
F1, and you know what I'm doing Saturday. Yep.
We're racing.
We're racing.
We're racing. That's my plan. What a good answer,
yep.
bro.
Yep. We're racing. Get to watch F1. And hopefully.
That's Saturday morning.
Hopefully yep. get some friggin' sleep on Sunday. Oh, I've been go, go, go. Anyway.
I caught up on some sleep last night. I'm going to be down being track dad, supporting my pals and all the ZZP cars. Have the Regal out there flexing. I'm sure somebody will talk me into making a pass in it.
It's a redemption run, you know?
Well, it's way turned down and on pump gas, but it would be cute to know what it runs in its current form.
Cute, you know?
Yeah, it'd be cute.
You know, yeah, but we'll be at 131 for the spring opener. Breaking records, busting necks. Other
breaking
than that,
axles and transmissions.
Other than that.
We got spare parts. It's fine.
I'll go there. Sunday's yard work
we're
day.
Showing up with no
yard
trailer.
Yard work day already?
Hey, am ooh. I the first one to say this, that we're just showing up with a whole bunch of cars and no trailer?
I talked yep. about bringing the trailer. Yep.
You know what?
I said I would bring
Matt's
the trailer.
Ellen's car will be on there on the trailer.
Yep,
so.
Matt's got a trailer.
Worst case, we drive Ellen's car home and put something else in the trailer. Yeah.
Yep, yep.
It's not that far away.
Yeah, no. Yard work, man. It's time.
Hopefully, Ellen's car runs nines and Ellen can just drive it home.
Yeah, that'd be
good. That'd be great. Just nines and done. Nines and done.
Nines and into the sunset.
Yep.
Yes.
Just off.
We're going to get this in, record guys. And then come back up the car
Furious
at the track.
Style, he just cruises off.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next week.
Bye, guys.